Alright, this is Chai Shop Music News, the Goa Couch special here right from Brazil and with the Alchemy crew. I have here Brian, Shane Gobi, Hamish, Chris and Vanna, which is like part of the Alchemy family. Hey guys, how are you doing?
We're doing good.
Very well, mate.
Fantastic.
Wicked.
Very well.
It's the biggest round that I ever interviewed, in fact. But it's great to do it because this is a special occasion. We have here, we have had just a party here in Brazil, in a beach club, like with the sunrise coming up, and all had great fun. Like Shane Gobi was playing, everybody staying here in a special artist home, and yeah, now we're together here, and we just got the spontaneous idea to do this special interview. We have some time, we have space. It's a different atmosphere. Well, how are you feeling?
We're very happy to be part of this interview. Relate our contents to it. In the mansion.
Yeah, it's fucking beautiful here. There's birds tweeting and mangoes in the trees and clouds and everything. It's killer.
Okay, for everybody to know a little bit more about whom I'm talking with, you all have artist names, yeah?
Yeah.
So basically, you Vanna, you are Rinkadink.
Yeah.
You...
Flip-flop.
Chris is flip-flop.
With another person, John.
Was asleep.
He's passed out. Hamish, just the DJ. Hamish.
All right. And Shane Gobi, everybody knows already. And Brian.
Sentient DJ.
So Brian, this is
laughing. Our American representation.
Mm. This is like California.
Yeah,
San Francisco.
Yeah. Then you are from London.
West Side.
South Africa, actually.
Well, actually South Africa, but living in London for a long time. You?
I'm Scottish, but living in London.
Also down from London, originally.
Yeah, you should come a little bit closer, because it's hard to understand you.
Well, we're kind of like the universal kind of connection, isn't it? But,
yeah.
But we don't really have a... How should I put it?
And you're also a little bit South Africa, but
I'm
now...
I'm South African, living in Spain at the moment.
Yeah.
Right.
But we've got Alchemy DJs and connections in pretty much all places where there are trance.
Yeah.
Not
yeah.
all of them, but most.
Yeah, and the central person of all of this is you, Shane Gobi.
I suppose so, yeah. I'm kind of like the guy that started the label and put everyone together and got the whole kind of mindset sorted.
Started cracking the whip.
How does it happen? I mean, you put people from all over the world
actually,
together.
It was quite easy. I was signed to Sphere Records. They asked me to do a compilation. I did a compilation. They couldn't release it. The label's going bust. I spoke to my friend Stuart. He said, let's release ourselves. Released the compilation. I sold a lot of copies. And that's the beginning of Alchemy. We never actually planned to start a label. We just planned to do one release. And that was it.
Success drives development.
Well, it's all spontaneous in a sense, you know. There was no actually meditated thing about it. And we just, the whole concept of Alchemy is kind of follow that whole thing.
Ah.
And we saw our artists are signed by whether we connect to each other, whether we connect to their music, whether we connect to them as people, and that's how we operate.
Whether we can party together.
Whether we can
or
party
not.
Together,
that's
essentially. That's
definitely
most important.
One big
right?
family.
It's a big
yeah.
family.
Everyone parties in Alchemy.
Yeah.
So
and
that's like
party
the
it's important that people are on the dance floor.
Yeah.
Application test, you have to party together.
Yeah. That's the most important application.
We were on the dance floor before there was any music being made or regulated or anything. And we're going
to
stay on the dance floor.
We like to dance to
that's happened then. Rinkadink's first track he ever tried to make was me and him tried to make it together. And we had this philosophy then, remember, if you get the girls to dance,
yeah.
the guys will follow.
Always, always. It's all about the girls.
We like to be on the dance floor, essentially.
Yeah.
That's our philosophy. And we follow that through, always. And
yeah,
our artists
yeah.
do as well.
Definitely the case in Brazil.
Yeah,
yeah, but not too cheesy.
And the success followed naturally.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's natural, isn't it? If you are happy with what you're doing, people relate to that, and that kind of connects.
People admire
yeah.
consistency.
Yeah.
yeah,
it's good quality. It's good quality, high quality.
Yeah, if you're not happy with what you're presenting, then it doesn't actually sell. It never will sell. You can't push it in any which way you want to. If you're happy with what you're presenting, it will go. And I mean, we've been lucky in Alchemy. We've had like what 5, almost 6 years now, of like really 23 releases kind of thing. They've all been kind of like well-received releases, and the label's grown and grown and grown, and the artists do really well. They play everywhere in the world, and we don't really have that many artists in our community. We have very, very few artists.
How much artists do you have? Don't want to forget anymore.
Seven.
All right.
It's a good number.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
No,
seven. Seven. Two missing.
Not that. DJs, a bit more.
Yeah.
But our live acts are, it's hard for me to sign live acts because I don't obligate myself to something that I might not be interested in 6 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You really have to connect them. I have to be happy if they come to my house for a month or two and stay in my place, and I know I can get along with them.
So that means you can easier connect to DJs than to live acts or what?
Yeah, I'm a DJ, essentially, and that's, I'm kind of like, I'm kind of like essentially really a DJ's DJ. I love the technical thing about DJing. Yeah. That's what I'm about, you know. That's why I got into this music. I'm quite into like the concept of a DJ, you know.
Yeah.
And when I started in Alchemy, when I was signing DJs, I was really hard on everyone I signed as DJs.
Yeah.
They have to be fucking on it. That's the only way, you know.
Relentless.
And, yeah, completely. They have to be on it.
You gotta represent well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the DJs I have in Alchemy Records, they all unique in their own way, and they present something to the label, you know?
Yeah, but it's interesting to hear that because, I mean, basically for labels or booking agencies or party organizers, basically live acts are more important than DJs. But you put it the other way around.
No, our live acts are important to us. You know, they actually bring in the money because we have a booking agency in Alchemy. And mostly what people book is the live acts, but as a label, we love to present our music through our DJs and in the best way possible.
Without an active group of DJs, you're not going to get your tunes across
good DJ
to the dance floor.
Your music, that's what kind of pushes you forward. You know?
Yeah,
that gets the people interested, and then they look for the music. They gets the people interested, listen to the music, find the artists, book the artists. You know. It's all big circle.
Gotta be on
other.
The dance floor.
Hamish is a typical example of that. I played for his party in Leeds a few years ago. First party, then I played the second party. After the second party, I thought, fuck, I gotta sign this guy. You know, I wasn't looking for DJs, but he was a DJ that I admired, the way he flowed. And that was it. You know, and that's how I signed DJs. If someone moves you, you know?
Yeah.
Not for a commercial sense.
And how does it happen? I mean, you have new artists, you discover new artists, which might not be like worldwide famous or something. How do you build them up?
We have a good network in Alchemy, and quite honestly, like, the crew of artists are quite connected. So when you bring in a new artist, everyone clicks to that artist. Like, I mean, we had a...
It's a group decision.
Yeah, it's a group decision, I mean, I don't actually take any decision on my own. Mm-hmm. Everyone is part of it. I get a track, I pass to all the guys, I take what they say into mind and then decide.
How do you do that? How do you organize that?
It's not like a...
Give everyone the track.
It's a conversation because we all hang together. We're friends.
It's a really good vibe, and if we don't... We can say to each other that we don't like something quite happily and know that there's not really problems.
And I'll take that into mind.
It's definitely important, so you can... not be afraid to be able to say no, and it means that quality strives.
But you have like conferences or
meetings.
No, it's
just natural.
It's casual. With the flow, you know?
Very
it's
casual.
Very natural.
Sometimes
you meet at parties?
Not necessarily parties. We all live mostly in London, so when we get together, or even when we're in other countries on tours, we sit together, we kind of go through music and speak about music, so therefore it comes across, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it, like this guy said to me, I love this track, and they said, oh, they don't like it. Then I have to re-listen to them, and then I might decide not to take it. But that's how our decisions are made, by a group, a unit, you know?
Yeah. Pretty nice. So maybe to the other ones, what's the position of Shane in the label?
I knew Shane before, like for many years before he even thought of starting a label or... releasing music or making music, we were always just on the dance floor partying.
I used to carry my DJ bag to get free into clubs.
Yeah. It's true.
Jedi mantra.
So we've always been partying, we've always been listening to music. This is just an extension of what we've already been doing our whole lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he seems like a central position. What do you think of him?
Yeah,
but
you need before a well-defined hierarchy.
Before alchemy, we were friends.
Yeah, he's been great for like us, just kind of as being a central person. He actually is pushing us, and like I guess last year when we came to Brazil, he kind of showed us straight away that he got us lots of gigs and been very helpful to us in a way that a lot of other labels don't really push their artists so much.
Yeah. So you're a network of people having each other. Yeah. A central person.
It's like a central,
That's why it's such a family. It's kind of, we definitely, it worked. There's no other booking agent, there's not another booking agent involved. It's kind of all going through him, so I guess it feels comfortable.
There are second party booking agents, but essentially we control everything within Alchemy. And when something is lacking, we push it. And we can push it through our infrastructure of mailing lists or whatever.
You know, I just start calling him in like panic, like 10 times a day until I get the bookings filled for the date. So.
And I just don't pick up my phone for a few days.
So we've definitely had quite a few panic moments where we've been able to phone Shane and he's sorted it out.
Naturally.
I mean, like, all these guys, when I sign them, I'm responsible for them. I find, and I have to make sure that they are kind of, they succeed. Because the more they play, the better it is for Alchemy. Essentially, that's how it is. And the more they rock dance for us, the happier I am. And like, I've been watching them play at Universo Paralelo, most of them, they've been rocking.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel proud. You know, completely.
What do you do when you do a party with a couple of Alchemy artists and the party is shit?
We get fucked.
Yeah, we get really drunk and fucked.
Yeah, it's another party which is like it happens. We've got to
drown our own
take the good with the bad.
I haven't been to one bad Alchemy party. I mean, seriously.
Right answer.
You know, it does show the quality. You know, whether they come for the music, they hate the music, or they know they'll have a good time, the people still come. Just about.
We do mainly Alchemy parties in London, and they're always good, essentially. They're always kind of rocking.
We have had bad Alchemy parties in the past, but like you said, like Shane says, we just get fucked and still go on the dance floor and have a good time.
Exactly.
Even if you don't get paid.
Lead from the front.
We all started for a true love of this, the scene, and if some parties don't happen, but the promoter has got the love for the parties in it and they're trying to do the right thing and the vibe is there, then you just go with it.
Especially these days I see this factor there's too much promoters, trance scene is going down in some countries, problems gonna happen. How are you gonna keep the idea, the vision of the trance scene while other factors are diminishing us?
Well, too many people focus on money, and the thing I found with Alchemy is that they focus on the vibe, the happiness, the essential things about the party. And, it's not about the money, it's about the fucking love. And that's what made me fall in love with Alchemy. So
we are prepared to make compromises to guarantee a good party, Not all the time. Obviously, we need to live, we need to kind of survive, but sometimes we are.
I mean, if there are shit parties going on, or there are lots of promoters looking for the money, even if your party isn't necessarily, or label isn't necessarily succeeding money-wise, as long as you keep true to what you started in, as in, good vibe, good times, that will come through. And again, it always goes in cycles.
Yeah.
It'll come back round in the end.
Yeah.
And then we'll be able to buy places like this.
I have to say that in London and around the world, Alchemy artists play quite a lot. We kind of have, in our booking agency, the artists are quite, they play, they're all working, So that's kind of a good thing, and everyone's happy.
5 years now,
if they weren't happy, then we wouldn't have been sitting and having this interview. They'd be fishing at me somewhere else, kind of thing. But it's been fantastic.
Yeah.
But they're all individual, and people book, we have like a major network of promoters around the world on our mailing list, and people book Rinky Dink, and they'll book Tripolize, which is completely opposite spectrums of the genre, but they book it because they kind of not set on style, and that's what we can present. We can kind of present a different style every time flip-flop, different drinking. Everyone's different. Everyone's different sound, but everyone's unique in their own sense, you know? I won't sign an artist that's, how shall I say,
trouble.
No.
Generic.
We don't sound generic. I can't do it. I mean, there's a lot of people I really like as people, and yeah. But I'd love to sign them, but their music's generic, and I can't. It doesn't fit with us.
Yeah. So it's like individual rocking music. Or
individual
what?
Sound, individual. It has to have artistic kind of connotation to it. It needs to have content.
Yeah. Flair.
Yeah.
It's fresh. The Alchemy sound is very, very fresh. It's the reason I play Alchemy music is because it's very fresh. No, I mean seriously. Like, there's a lot of generic trance these days, but Alchemy, it's got its own unique sound. Even though all the artists are different, it's got this special thing that I love, man, and that's why I play this kind of music for sure.
Like, say 1.5 years ago, 2 years ago, I couldn't play my DJ sets like 50% on Alchemy. Music exclusively. I had to mix and match with everything else. But now, because we kind of expanded our arts like roster, I can play like 90% of my DJ set on Alchemy alone. That's what I'm happy playing, and that's what rocks the dance floor. Yeah. It's fantastic to be in that position, finally.
I think it's totally, the whole reason I got into it was because I wanted to be able to make music that I'd want to play in my DJ set. Be like the old, like, yeah, I just wasn't finding enough stuff which I wanted to play, so that's why started doing it. And so it's the same with the label, you're getting to the point where you're playing all the stuff which you put back. Definitely
is
satisfying.
Loads of the music which is being released these days not fresh?
Yeah, totally, mate. No, there's loads of crap.
It's kind of rehashed kind of ideas, twist a little bit into a new track. And it's kind of boring, you know?
Yeah, there's hundreds of labels, and they've all come about because the big labels won't release the crap shit, and it's so easy to start a label, so they just put out their own CDs, loads of crap music everywhere, so it's just...
And everyone wants to be famous.
Yeah, everyone wants to put your music out there and just... And so the whole scene
is
just really
suffering
from it.
Yeah, we suffer essentially because say you take 3 years ago we sell so much more CDs, but now we sell so much less. But like, it's not like not that people don't like what you do. It's just that every week there's so much more released, so there's a lot of bigger spread. So that's what happens, you know. It's a difficult thing, but essentially we don't actually care about making music, making money out of sales. It's about publicity, because where we make, what we're doing is we do parties, we play gigs, and we travel.
Releasing
totally
music.
It's going. It's all about the gigs, and it's not about until it actually moves over to just digital downloading, getting away from CD.
I don't think that'll ever happen, but hey.
No, I think that's the way forward as well. Just like EPs, all these other genres are kind of labels are releasing 2-track digital EPs where the artists have instantly, they've finished the track, it's banging off on the internet. And at the moment, people are waiting for 3 tracks to be released on different compilations on different labels from the last year, and it's just...
I suppose I'm just too much of an old school DJ.
It's moving from vinyl to CD.
Vinyl?
No, I was just going to say about the... releasing CDs, it's not about any sort of commercial gain, it's just showcasing what we're thinking about at that point in time. Just a permanent
it's
record.
It's a concept.
Nothing
a
more.
A business card almost.
The artwork, the music, it's a concept.
You have to realize that.
It's not anymore about making money to release CDs.
I don't know, even when we were selling 2,000 copies of a compilation, it was never about making money.
Nah.
You know? So...
Just a bonus.
Are you subscribed to owner rights societies?
No, I'm not. I don't give
Thank
a
God.
Fuck about that. like, the whole concept of it is sweet to me, but I grew up in a society in a time where piracy was just normal. And I will give my music freely through the internet the way that it is done now through peer-to-peer, and I'll keep on doing it. I don't believe in that it's holding anything
That's
back.
That's how he became known.
You probably
the other ones?
No, Rinkid Inc., when he was working in an animation company, he was making music and trading his own music on the internet to get his music out. And that's how everyone got to know Linkedin. And there was an album of all that music, isn't it? Everyone said this.
There was hours and hours of low quality material.
Yeah, of all the early Linkedin.
All your budget of first tunes.
But that's what made me and a number of other bands around that time was the explosion of Napster.
Completely.
So it worked to our advantage, and keep on going the way it's going. It's perfect.
Yeah. And the other ones?
Other artists that made themselves.
Yes, we haven't really encountered too much. We
nobody
seen
subscribed to owner rights societies.
No one.
Oh, no, sorry, I forgot. What exactly is it?
MCPS.
Okay, but no, I mean, I think our tracks aren't really like, they're not being used enough in situations where we'd get money back from it, I think.
And also more than 90% of the places we play are not registered with any of these organizations, so it's completely off the books, whatever happens, and it's a major mission to compile a playlist of things that need to be paid just through one party, let alone, I don't know, 200 parties a year.
It's operating on a pilot level.
Yeah.
That's it.
I think the whole industry is so small that it just can't. Yeah. There's no real cash to be gained from small gigs.
There are labels in Cyclones that operate on that kind of basis, and I can completely understand. And they do make a lot of money. They do make more money from it, but that. For me as a label manager, to sign an artist who's registered with MCPS, I cannot, I have to make a different deal with them. I can't pay the royalties. So I try to get them not to register. And most people are prepared to do that, because they understand the sales are not what it used to be.
No, so you need to convince them not to register.
Otherwise,
I just want to add that, like, this whole process that goes on after a party that people have to do in able to work out who needs to be paid what is an extremely, like, laborious and in a way, for me, pointless process. The music that gets played at the party gets played at the party. Half of it's not released. It doesn't matter to us. It's just about the party at that time. There's all this other stuff about getting paid afterwards for royalties never figures in our minds.
How could I write the tracks I'm going to play beforehand? Impossible.
You don't know exactly. being a DJ, it's all about spontaneous feeling. Exactly.
All right. Enough about that. Let's get back to where we are. Actually, we are sitting here in Brazil.
A beautiful place.
Beachside location.
We wish you were here. Yeah. We wish you were here.
Areal da Ajuda. This is a typical tourist place. So why are we here?
Winding down after university.
I've been wondering that for the last 7 days, actually. I'm not quite sure.
In the penthouse suite, it must be
while I've been laying in my penthouse apartment.
There's like
this is also family, in a sense.
Every year, at the end of the year, there's this Universo Paralelo Party Festival, which is in this area. So it draws thousands of people to this one part of Brazil, and then after the party is over, they go to various different places to chill out and party more. And where we are now in Areal de Jour is one of the really sweet places to chill out and meet like other party people and just be on holiday.
Yeah. Oh, well, we come here essentially for Magnolia and Marta and their connection, because they are
Magnolia is a club basically, and they have at the beach.
Yeah, yeah, I've been connected with them for 3 years, and their vibe is perfect, and I'll come always for that, you know.
It's family.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah, and we have a great house here, like overlooking the beach on a hill, and like full wooden stone house and wonderful apartments. So quality life,
Imagine MTV Cribs. That's kind of the vibe.
So, I suppose you wouldn't get that accommodation in Europe, would you?
It's the first I've ever encountered. No. I don't know about you guys.
It's not like the artists that get signed send off riders for sort of you know, the hotels and you know three women and blue M&Ms in their bathroom and things like that. It's a lot more casual.
In the sense that it is casual, you kind of often get surprised by things like in Germany.
Yeah,
we were there for the party. When was it?
Halloween.
Hamburg? It's a fantastic bad loft apartment.
Maybe it was Frankfurt. No. Oh, okay, one of the two.
Lucy,
sorry.
Banner.
Düsseldorf.
What these places.
Clearly a messy weekend. But,
lovely place. It's someone's home. Beautiful environment. That's so much better than any
fucking
hotel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, party was great. And party, like, people. Yeah. Place was amazing.
Yeah, but Germany, in essence, is as a place is very basic. I find what people give you, they treat it as a contract. You come to play, you get that, you give that.
It's all contracted.
Yeah, and for me, it's not life is not like that.
Yeah.
Life is about connections. Yeah?
And if you play in London, probably the people do more negotiate about your accommodation than about your fee.
Well, they already have accommodations.
We do live in London, but like all of us, we're kind of known for partying in London, and we connect, we are part of the London party scene.
Yeah.
So it's a different kind of a thing, you know? We are part of it. We don't actually feel like we're going into something that we're not connected to. We are part of the whole thing.
Do you invite artists outside of Alchemy to London?
Yeah, many times. One of our, I think, I can't remember, second last party, we had Perfect Stranger playing.
Ah.
And James
very
Monroe,
good,
which is completely different to our sound.
Yeah.
But the whole point of the Alchemy parties is it's kind of spreading the conscious thing and just evolution, you know?
Yeah.
Not kind of sticking to a formula.
Yeah. So back to Brazil. I mean, we're here in this wonderful location, blah blah blah. Why are we here in this wonderful location? Brazilian trance scene is booming. You're coming here like 5 times a year.
Number 4.
Not bad though.
Not anymore.
4 times a year, not 5.
Oh,
I love
I'm really sorry.
No, I love Brazil. Brazil's got the people, their culture is party.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
part of the all kind of the way they brought up. Like, I remember the first time I came to Brazil, I was in Pernopolis, playing for Transformation Party, living in this.
When was that?
About 4 years ago, living in the small village in Pernopolis.
Mm.
And I remember walking through the village and seeing, in the afternoon, seeing this old. People sitting on the road kind of thing, and it was carnival time, and they were so into the whole party thing of carnival, and I thought to myself, wow, everything's based on party in this country.
Probably was the same year that I was
dance,
in carnival.
Yeah, completely, and I just love that about Brazil. I mean, I get frustrated with Brazil as well, because it's a trendy kind of place. Trends come quickly,
go and die quickly.
You know, but yeah, what can you do, man? I love the place though.
It's so magic.
I love it too.
It's definitely all about the
Ben,
songs.
Some words?
Brazil, like, is just exploding on such a scale that if it wasn't for Brazil, I think that more than 3/4 of all the trance artists would have to take other jobs. It really supports the whole scene. It's an important part of the slice that is psytrance. And it just happened by chance. When dance music exploded here, they chose psytrance above any other sort of music, and they've gone with it. That's why it's so massive today, and people are so open to it.
The thing I loved about when I came here first, I was unknown. And I played the party, and I played a good set, and they stuck to you. And then you were known. You played everywhere. Because they didn't actually think of whether you're famous or not. They just believed in what you played, and that was enough.
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I love. But that can happen so much here, more than anywhere else in the world.
Is Brazil taking the part of supplying the missing income, which is not coming from Europe anymore?
Yeah, I suppose. In a bigger kind of context, it does that. But there are other places as well, like, say, for instance, like you speak about Europe. Europe is a small part of your yearly booking thing, you know?
Yeah.
Wherever you live, whether it be Switzerland, whether it be London, that's your second or first biggest income. That's where it happens. Brazil is like your second or first. kind of thing that's happening. And then you have other places, like it's more spread, like say you have Mexico, you have Chile, which is another amazing new kind of destination. Actually my favorite place at the moment.
Chile?
Chile, yeah.
It's all about Chile.
Yeah, yeah, it's all about Chile.
There.
Yeah, yeah. It's my favorite place in the world to play at the moment, yeah.
You can quote me on that.
Yeah, like the place. People are psychedelic. It's a whole new kind of thing happening there. They still have that old roots vibe, and they're getting completely tripping out the music, which is lost in a lot of places. Yeah.
So this is a little bit the idea of like nutrients countries.
I forgot to mention about the beautiful girls.
Very beautiful girls.
I wasn't there.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Here. I love it.
Definitely a massive bonus.
There's a guy called Gary Jones, an English guy, and his Chilean girlfriend that do the earth dance parties there. They do amazing production and really conscious kind of effort into it. He met me in Brazil the first time I came here, and he went to Chile. He got arrested for LSD, spent 2 years in jail. 2 years later, he called me, said, "I'm doing a party, come to Chile." I went to Chile. Played first party, 7,000 people, Chilean DJs and myself, and I was so moved by the dance floor, 7,000 people, but just tripping out the music, you know? And I met, I fell in love with the place, and they connected to me, and since then, we have that connection.
Chile's the next place?
Yeah, it's my favorite at the moment.
Any other next places?
Huh?
Any other next places?
We want the trance scene to get massive in China. China's like turning over a new leaf. Come on, anyone who's listening in China, get it going.
I really love London, essentially, as a place for DJing. Because London's universal.
Yeah.
You have every culture on your dance floor.
You have Chinese in London.
Not in the dance floor.
One or two.
I've never been.
Pretty rare, though, yeah.
But you have this whole kind of thing where it's a universal kind of culture on the dance floor, like no other place in the world. So people, because they're not from there, they leave their inhibitions at home and they come there to experience something new.
Yeah.
If they are like, say, Italians in Italy, they have inhibitions, they have people they grew up with, they have like boundaries. If those same Italians are in London, there are no boundaries. They let themselves go. And that's the beautiful thing about London. You can, the dance floor trusts the DJ. And if you take them down a little bit of a road, they follow you.
It's definitely true, yeah. In London, there's a lot more DJs who play deeper sets.
Yeah, completely. I feel like I can do whatever I want to there.
Definitely, and the crowd are up for listening to the depth, like, and going on journeys. And whereas kind of out here in Brazil, it's much more just top 10 bangers.
People
who don't really know, like, they're not getting too battered on psychedelics as well. It's kind of, they don't listen for the whole set, they just listen for the break.
So do you have a chance in London?
I think anybody has a chance in London.
It's different. You just have to adapt to the different, like DJing in London and DJing in Brazil. You just have to know to play different sets, I guess.
Yeah, London's not about big name DJs. London's about quality. It's about quality, purely. That's it. I mean, the favorite DJs in England are not even known anywhere else in the world. You know, that's what it's about.
So, like, London is the birthplace, and then you can, like, take care of exporting those artists.
Well, it never used to be like this, but it's had a revamp in the last few years, you know? Like, the energy in London now, it's pushing the... It's out there, you know?
There's a definite lull for about 3 or 4 years.
Trance is a global culture, and because London is such a global representative of trance, it's a good place for people to come into it, and like without any kind of bullshit or whatever, you know?
If you can make it in London, you can make it anywhere in the world.
You can make it.
So I mean, Brian, you're from San Fran, yeah?
Yes.
So I mean, US has always been a difficult subject for transit.
Yes, it's very small and very spread out. I mean, the country's huge, but electronic music in general has never picked up really well in the States. I mean, there's house music for sure, techno, all this kind of stuff, but especially psytrance has never really become the thing like Brazil is. You know?
So what's your version?
my version is that I'm happy to be able to be part of the trance scene in the USA, but I know what it is, and I don't have any illusions about it, because...
I mean, what's your version why I never picked up?
Well, it's not sellable, really, because it's a very deep kind of music, and people in the States, most of them aren't very deep. It's the true thing. People want MTV, want to be fed something, and MTV is very good for that kind of stuff. And it's all popular kind of stuff, music. You guys, everyone else in the world, are fed this kind of shit that we have to...
But why are people not that deep? Because they eat burgers or what?
Because most people aren't... No, not because... Well, yeah, sure, maybe they eat burgers, but...
the they're going to let you back in the country.
The thing is, most people in the States, a big percentage of them haven't even been outside their own towns, let alone those states. You know, they're not very open-minded about other cultures. They're very centralized and very contained into their own lives. That's one big reason why trance isn't picked up. But it is there, and it is good. And there are the people that are in it are really good. You know, it is a good culture.
It's an escape, but just for a couple of people.
Yeah, but those people are killers. So, you know, we like to try, you know. Whenever I go overseas, it's nice to be able to hear that, oh, wow, there are cool Americans, you know.
Yeah.
They are somewhere. They are there.
South Africa is different. Yeah, I mean, in South Africa you have these amazing festivals and quite a culture for 10 years or something.
South Africa's had a connection with the trance scene since like the first wave, and they've had established parties there for a very long time. You should go check it out. They have some serious parties, and South Africans are pretty funny in the party.
And it got diluted, or it's still great?
The trance scene is very much a part of life in the Western Cape that loads of people do, families and things, and the parties swell to thousands. But the essential vibe of going there and tripping out in nature and listening to electronic music and going crazy and free is still the same. I don't think it's been diluted. People have found like a social tribal thing to do which they couldn't do before, and they love it. We need it, everyone.
Yeah. Well, in Germany we have this phenomenon that trance is not so popular anymore. Less people come to the festivals, club parties are not that popular anymore, and people actually change to listen to techno again or so, yeah. And so I'm wondering what is happening worldwide. Is trance diminishing, or is it just a regional phenomenon?
It's liquid. It's nothing you can put your finger on. It's nothing you can like draw any conclusions from one amount of people one year at one festival and another amount another year at another festival. It goes beyond that, and it's regenerating and morphing with new people, new generations all the time. It's
constant.
It's nothing you can put your finger on. Trance is here to stay.
Trance has been evolving since like 92, but before that, always.
Yeah. And, people always ask this question, is trance growing or is it declining? But it's impossible to say, because it's actually just evolving.
There's been a massive rise recently of progressive trance, which, you know, you in Germany as well, a big thing in Europe, and that's, you know, that's grown, and that shows another dimension of the psychedelic element of dance music being, you know, used in new ways.
Yeah, we love that, actually.
You know?
Although we're not a progressive label, we're open to the idea of a journey, and everything has a place. Progressive, I like to play progressive into pulling down across all genres. That's what it was supposed to be about, but a few years ago when progressive came as a genre, it became isolated, progressive parties only, full-on parties only, and that was wrong, didn't work. It's good to see that all came back and sorted itself out.
So what's your idea? Is your idea a musical idea? You want to like publish or promote trance music, or is your idea rather like lifestyle?
I think we're promoting an idea, and not a specific sound, you know. I listen to other labels, and they have a sound, you know, like you know what they sound like. I don't think that we have that in Alchemy. We have an idea,
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
You have boundaries, you know what you don't like, you know what you like, and your artists and music fits into that, I guess.
Anything you appreciate.
Yeah, if it's good, as long as you have a taste, and that is what the label's based around, it's like, that's
what it's about. The next this year, we have so many albums coming out. Flip Flop album, it's going to be a monster.
Ouch!
Burning Noise album, Prequelize, the second album, Rinky Dink remix album, we hope. And maybe a Whiplash album, which we're not sure of. But the idea, we don't even, it's not like, oh, so many albums, blah, blah, blah. We're just like, this is what we have, this is what our eyes are doing, it's fresh, it's now, let's do it.
And let's see what comes from
it. Let's see what comes from it, yeah.
So what's a lifestyle idea?
No, I'm not sure. What's a lifestyle idea?
Fun, enjoy yourself.
As fun as possible, while doing something we love. And
sex, drugs.
Getting away with it.
Sex, drug, and rock and roll.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good to be able to follow something that is a passion and be able to do something that's a passion. You know, not necessarily, it's not necessarily employment, you're not necessarily making money from it, but you've got the opportunity, you know, instead of having a dream and then just letting it disappear, we're actually doing it.
So basically, like, the whole psychedelic trance culture is not a new idea, it's just a similar idea that was there before, just redefined or something.
Yeah, redefined, yeah. But we're not actually making a lot of money, we're only supporting ourselves in what we believe in. And we're enjoying our lives, and I feel so privileged to be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to live the life that I chose to and stuff like that, and live this kind of the thing that you believe in and be creative in that and be able to support yourself. That's a massive privilege for me.
And not have to answer to anyone, really.
I never dreamt my life would be that way, so.
And luckily other people enjoy what Alchemy is doing. Yeah, that's a good response.
Because we rock.
Quote unquote.
And we're modest.
Very.
Great. So running out of questions.
Oh man.
He's killer.
I'm running out of knee muscles.
Let's just conclude this interview.
Thank you very much for listening.
Let's go to the pool.
Exactly.
Right.
Get a cocktail.
Right, right, right. Thank you very much for the interview. Good luck with your projects. Great to have you here.
Thank you.
Great to have myself here, actually.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye-bye. Cheers, thank you.
Cheers, Sam.
Nice one.